ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Phones off, please. And if anyone wants to take a photo of this dying body that I'm presently sitting in, then I'll pose afterwards, but please don't do so during the discussion. We could put this fan on if you want. I see. Oh, I see. We'll put this one on slow because Amma here is suffering from the heat.
Only this one is working hard. These two, I think.
I see. Okay, then it's a case of tongue stitching shastra bharata.
Yes.
Just tolerate. Anyway, probably within an hour or two there'll be heavy rain. It's like that every day, so you can cool off. This morning I spoke on the name from Vishnu Sahasranama, Artha. And as often happens, even though I prepare in advance, I think of something else afterward. Artha means meaning. And Krishna is the meaning of everything. Krishna is unlimited. So there are unlimited meanings in every name of Vishnu Sahasranama. And many of the names, they may not seem to be very spiritual to us from our perspective. Because they're ordinary words used in ordinary speech. Words, for instance, such as artha. It's a commonly used word, at least in some languages. I don't know if in Tamil, but yeah, comes up also. What does it mean? Meaning? It means meaning and money. Does it also? Not so much.
Yeah.
So actually everything ultimately means Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach Sanskrit. But he had to close down his school when he explained every word to mean Krishna. Because the students, they thought, well, listen, this is not very practical. But one who sees Krishna in everything, we can hear Krishna in everything also. As stated in the second canto of Bhagavatam, the sounds of the birds, that is his a representation of the Supreme Lord's musical sense. So this word artha comes up in Shastric commentary. Srila Prabhupada, he gave the name of... He didn't give the word commentary to his commentaries, he gave the word purport. Gets a little difficult when you translate all these things. Purport, tatparya, means this is what it means. It's a little different to commentary. It's quite different to the word commentary. Commentary means as it's understood by the commentator. But purport gives the idea of as it is. This is how it should be understood. This is what Krishna means to say. Or what Krishna is saying, rather, not what Krishna means to say. So a common term that's used for commentary is bhavartha. Yeah, but if you say tatparyam, it's difficult to translate this. Because tatparya, we're distinguishing between bhavartha and tatparya. So I don't know how to say it, but anyway, I hope they can catch the meaning. It's easier in English in this sense. So bhavartha. Bhava means, it has many, many meanings, the word bhava. Here we can say the feeling. So this is the commentator is saying that this is the meaning with the feeling, or how he feels, how Krishna is speaking to him and how he feels, and then he's reflecting that back in his commentary. And generally the commentaries on Shastra, they'll take the words and explain word by word. And then they'll give the quotations from other shastras to say how this means. This is what is being meant. This is what is meant. And at the end of one section or at the end of one shloka, the words will come, ityartham. This is the meaning. So all the shastras, Vedaishya sarve raham eva vedyaha, the meaning of all the shastra is Krishna. And any other way it's explained, that is anartha, that is opposite to the proper meaning. This word anartha is very important. In our Gauriya culture, because on the path of progression to the platform of prema, we have to go through anartha nivritti, or cessation of anartha. Anartha means that which is meaningless. That is that which is not the proper goal. That which is an obstruction or opposite to the real meaning of life, which is Krishna. So this is a major part of Krishna consciousness, to be free from anarthas. The gross anarthas are meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication. And then eating food which is not offered or offerable to Krishna. These are gross anarthas, engaging in activities which are pratikul. So pratikul yasya varjanam, all activities which are cause us not to be Krishna conscious, that they should be fully given up. Then there are the subtle anarthas. Kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, illusion, and envy.
Kaamam, kovam, perase, bhogam, rayadu, perase.
Kaam, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya.
Puram.
Then there are vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasto vegam. There are the urges of the tongue, the belly, the genitals, the mind, speech, and anger. Then there are the desires for honor, for position, for wealth, lab, puja, pratishtha. So all these anarthas have to be left behind if we are to attain love of Krishna. So we want, if we want artha, then we have to give up anartha. So anartha nivritti is a well-known term. Retire or cessation of anartha, unwanted things. Then there is the possibility of artha pravritti, entering into that which is desirable. So we should reject anartha. So now, having explained artha, we'll go on to the next name in Vishnu Sahasranama. The next name is anartha. Oh, we were just talking about how we have to get rid of anarthas. The next name is anartha. Well, that's why we need bhavartha. We need an explanation of everything. There are many names like this in Vishnu Sahasranama in which they appear to be opposite. He's because Krishna is everything. Anor, Aniyan, Mahato, Mahiyam. He's the smallest of the small, he's the greatest of the great. He's a helpless child being held by his mother Yashoda. But he kills demons who even the demigods are afraid of. So if his name is Artha, it should also be Anartha. Because everything is within Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. So it's just like the impersonalists, they say God cannot have a form. Who are you to say what God can be or cannot be? He encompasses everything. So it's a surprising name, maybe. Of course, people who grow up in homes where this is chanted daily, it used to be a common thing in India, among the Brahmins at least, but it's not now. But for those who grow up with it, they think, no, they don't find anything unusual in it. But it has to be understood. It doesn't mean that, oh, all right, then anartha also. So sometimes we can give up eating meat, and then other times we won't give up eating meat, because Krishna is also anartha. Someone can say, I'm a vegetarian. Most of the time. 23 hours a day I'm vegetarian. I don't eat meat. And just 3 times a day I eat meat. The rest of the time I'm vegetarian. So this is, we have to understand the artha, the proper meaning, from the shastra has to be understood through the sadhus, the acharyas. So anartha, how does this describe Krishna? Well, one meaning is, what are you doing? I have to hold it close to the, one meaning is that he has nothing to strive for. We are looking, what's the purpose of life? Krishna's not. He is the purpose of life. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. What is that? Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Natat shamas cha bhyadikas chajishyate. He has nothing to do. He's not that Krishna is bound by any rules. Krishna is not in ignorance. Krishna has nothing to seek for or find, because he is the goal himself. He is complete and perfect in himself. Now another meaning is that for some people he is anartha. He is perceived as such. In Krishna's pastimes we find so many demons who thought that Krishna is the problem. My artha, my goal of life, cannot be fulfilled because of this rascal Krishna, they are thinking. Or they may think that my goal of life is to kill Krishna. So they perceive him as such. Of course, that's not correct. But for some people, they see like that. And other people who don't seek him are people, they may not be totally demoniac, but they're neither very demoniac nor very pious. Or they don't have bhakti-unmukhi sukriti. They don't have the kind of piety which attracts them to Krishna specifically. Now Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidhang bhajante mangjana sukritino arjuna arto jignyasa arthati gyanicha bharatarshava. 4 kinds of pious people approach me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, I think that word kashta for ours is a little bit different. Although it's translated as in English as distressed, and you can translate it back as kashta, but actually the artha is someone who experiences distress, whereas kashta means to have trouble. You can be in trouble and be happy also. Anyway, so artha, one who is curious, and one who knows that Krishna is all in all. So the person, this artharti, here we have the word again, artha. Someone who wants money. Now, many people in this world want money. Most don't approach Krishna to get money. Those who do so are pious. But not very pious. If they were really pious, they would approach Krishna without any personal desire. So they're coming to Krishna, but their purpose, their artha in doing so, is to get money. So they're really interested in the money and not Krishna. Of course, Krishna is so kind that he attracts them to him. And there are many cases of people who they approach Krishna, they have some idea, Krishna will give me wealth. So they think, well, how am I going to get Krishna? Well, I should go to someone who knows about Krishna. And so just like the story of Sanatan Goswami and the touchstone, Lord Shiva sent the artharti, the person who was seeking wealth. He went to Shiva, not to Krishna, but then via Sanatan Goswami, he got Krishna.
Sanatan Goswami matrum and Chintamani kallu irukku. So indha kallu patri indha kadai paathina,
is it
artharti endra nabar vandu mudhalla Shivapurman Chintamani avar vandu Sanatan Goswami kitta indha nabar
Parashmani. Parashmani becomes in Hindi. Okay, Chintamani is okay. Dhruva Maharaj, he approached Vishnu. He wanted to approach Vishnu. He was guided by Narad Muni. But he can be obtained when one is no longer interested in the artha of this world, then he can be attained. Therefore, he is anartha. Anartha, nirartha is a word often used, meaningless, it means meaningless. So one who finds no meaning in this world, who finds everything completely useless and meaningless, such a person can approach Krishna. Such a person is called akinchana. Means someone who has no interest in anything, they can find Krishna. Those who have given up their desires to enjoy this world, or to renounce this world, but they're interested in Krishna only. Yeah, and then another meaning of anartha is that whatever is perceived of as being desirable in this world, Krishna is different from that. Krishna is in a completely different category to everything of this world. As long as we're seeking after anything else except Krishna, we can't get Krishna. He reveals himself to persons who are interested only in him. Of course, he might reveal himself to persons who still have material desires. There are many cases. Dhruva Maharaj is one. We get Narad in a previous life is one. Daksha, he had vision of the Lord. Muchukunda, when he asked, Krishna said, okay, you can take a boon from me. Krishna was pleased with Muchukunda. He came before him. He came to him. Muchukunda didn't come to Krishna. Krishna came to Muchukunda. And then when Krishna offered him a boon, he didn't ask for anything material. He said, I want service to you. But Krishna said that, all right, very good. I'm glad you didn't ask for anything material. So in your next life, you'll be born as a Brahmin and then you can become fully purified. So in this case, Krishna revealed himself to Muchukunda, and Muchukunda said, I want your service, but Krishna said, okay, but you need a little more preparation. Not quite ready yet. Still some anartas to be free from. This is important to understand. We should not pray to Krishna for anything except his pure devotional service. If we have any other desire than pure devotional service, we won't get pure devotional service. That's why it's very important to have these kind of discussions that we're having now. So that we can fix, I might understand how to desire. The Mayavadis, they say, stop all desire. Because desire entangles us in this material world. But the Vaishnavas say, no, we have to know what to desire. We should desire Krishna. Pure devotional service to Krishna. If we desire anything else, then Krishna can give us. But anything, if we have any, if we see anything else in the person who has no desire other than to please his devotees, if we take that in the wrong way, then we remain in the material consciousness. So as Srila Prabhupada often used to say, we shouldn't do business with God. Okay, I'll worship you and you give me this and this. I'll sponsor this kalash and then you have to give me more money and good health and all these things. But what we actually get if we approach Krishna for anything but pure devotional service, we get birth, death, old age and disease. So we shouldn't approach Krishna, who is the ultimate meaning of everything, with our anarthas. We shouldn't be asked for silly, petty things. So what does that mean? I have so many anarthas in my heart, then I shouldn't approach Krishna? Do I have to get free from them all and then I can only approach Krishna? But we can only get free from anarthas by approaching Krishna. So we have to approach Krishna. What does it mean? We have to approach Krishna with the very clear desire to be free from all those anarthas. What is Krishna doing? He's simply enjoying himself. We always do something with some purpose. But Krishna, he doesn't do anything with his only purpose is to enjoy. And he doesn't even have to arrange his enjoyment. He delegates that service to Yoga Maya. You make the arrangements, I'll just enjoy. If we try to do that, we get in a lot of, if we try to imitate Krishna in that way, we get in a lot of trouble. Just like a man may think, I want to enjoy this woman. But he can only do so under rules and regulations. He has to marry her. If she's already married, then there's no question. He can't licitly enjoy her. And even if he licitly marries her, then he has to take the trouble of maintenance, looking after children, so many responsibilities. If we try to enjoy without responsibility, we get into so much trouble. That is, therefore we have to follow the path of dharma. But even if we follow the path of dharma, if we want to enjoy dharma, artha, kama, we still have to suffer. I didn't say moksha. You said it. I didn't say it.
Dharma, artha, kama.
So our ultimate aim is karma, but we think, I'll enjoy this world, but I have to do it according to dharma or I'll suffer too much. So, but then to get karma, we need to get some artha, some money.
இந்த காமங்கள் தேவைன்னா காமங்களை அனுபவிக்கணும்னா வந்து ஏதாவது அர்த்தம் ஏதாவது விஷயங்கள் செல்வம் தேவை.
So if we don't follow this system, then we get in a lot of trouble.
இந்த வழிமுறையை நாம வந்து கடைபிடிக்கலனா நிறைய பிரச்சனைகள் வரும்.
Let me just enjoy. I instead of working to get money, I'll steal some money. But then it's also some work.
நீங்க வந்து எதுவும் செய்ய வேண்டாம் நான் வந்து திருத்தனமா பணமே எடுத்துக்கொள்வேன் நினைக்கலாம் ஆனா அது கூட வந்து ஒரு வேலை தானே.
So either way, we get in a lot of trouble.
எப்படி இருந்தாலும் ஏதாவது பிரச்சனைகளை நீங்க மாட்டிக்கொள்ள வேண்டும்.
But Krishna, he doesn't have to think that if I dance with these gopis, I'll be arrested and put in prison.
கிருஷ்ணர் வந்து நினைக்க தேவையில்லை இந்த கோபியர்கள் கூட நான் வந்து ஆடினா என்ன வந்து சிறைச்சாலையில போட்டுருவாங்கன்னு நினைக்க தேவையில்லை.
கிருஷ்ணர் இஸ் கம்ப்ளீட்லி இண்டிபெண்டன்ட்.
கிருஷ்ணர் வந்து முழுமையா சுதந்திரமான ஒரு நபர்.
He doesn't need, again, he doesn't have to think, should I do, should I not do. So it's very, very important to understand this, Krishna's transcendental position. Because if we think, I'll be like Krishna, I'll just enjoy, then we suffer so much. If anyone has any questions, maybe I should take when I come back. If you have any questions you can think of.